that Deb and I have noticed. We don't sing to be singing. And we've been in some great churches that don't sing to be singing. They sing to worship. And we do that here. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for leading us. And I thought about it a while ago while Deb and I was sitting there. I'm so grateful for you listening to the Lord, man, this week and every week, and just praying and say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want to say? What do you want to say in song? And y'all remember this, because some people I don't think understand this throughout churches in the world. And we talked about this on a Wednesday night. But worship is just as vital as the preaching of the word. Don't ever forget that. Worship and preaching of the word are simultaneous. They're like hand in glove. And the Lord is big into worship. Before they ever built the temple, rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem, the first thing they did was that they praised. They worshiped. And we do that here. And that's such a blessing for Deb and me. Have you ever thought that something would never happen? I was talking to David a while ago, and you know, he's just seeking God's will in his life, and we had a great conversation. And he was talking about, he said, you know, I did some work at Liberty University. And he said, it's when you had the cassette tapes. Y'all remember the cassette tapes? And the students were saying, what's a cassette tape? Do y'all remember the cassettes? And you'd have to stop them or rewind them. And we thought that they would never go out of style. He said, go out of style? Nothing, Chuck. I still got one in my truck. You know, I put it in there every time. But, you know, you never thought they'd go out of style. And you never thought that 45 records would go out of style. Of course, they're trying to make a comeback, right? They call them vinyls now. Like the guy was, Tim was saying last night. We never thought that VHS would go out. You know what that is? Remember the VHS tapes that some of you still have, and we do too? We got to send them down to Goodwill and let people don't use them. I guess they're collector's items now. They sell them at the flea market. So, but you know what that stands for? I found out what that stood for, Gary. Video Home System. Some of y'all didn't know that either, did you? That's what it stands for. And we don't have those anymore. We don't have the antennas anymore. And some of y'all had some good ones. Remember, you put it up there by the fireplace, you know, and you hooked it onto the little fireplace chimney in order to get the different stations. A lot of those things that we thought would never, ever go out of style are gone for the most part. But one thing that's never gone is the Lord Jesus. He said, I will what? Never what? Leave you. And I will never forsake you. How long is never? It's forever. That means from here on, I will never leave you. Do you know the day you got saved, you just punched your ticket to forever with Him? It's called everlasting life. Wasn't there a verse in the Bible that says, for God so, let's see here, loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not go to hell, will not perish, but have what? What's the word? Say it with me. Everlasting life. That does not happen the day that you think you're going to die, but you're not really going to die like you think you're going to die. What? Crazy. What do you mean? Everybody dies. Everlasting life means we live. live for how long? Forever. From the moment of our salvation, forever we go on living. And when we leave this earth, that a lot of times we call dying, is just leaving, people. It's just leaving. I think our precious mama and our precious daddy, they want to be of the Lord. Daddy like 12 years ago and mama many years ago. Like, my goodness, it's been almost 30 years now. It seems like it was yesterday when she left. Just yesterday. And but the Bible says that Jesus said, we just go on living. And he tells us we never experience death. Because it's ever what? Say it with me. Everlasting life. That means it never is interrupted. It never stops. And the reason it's everlasting is because Jesus said, I will never what? Leave you. I will be with you every step of the way. The thing where that really resonated with his disciples was the night before they would have the greatest trauma they would ever face. And some of you this morning, you may be saying, you know, Chuck, I'm facing a great trauma in my life. And I need a word from God. Well, they were about to face the greatest trauma. A trauma that they did not expect to be facing. Well, on the night before Jesus was to go to the cross, and John was there, and John heard everything about it, and he wrote it down in John 13 and 14. Jesus was there with his disciples, and Judas had just left the room. Whoa. That's when things changed for Jesus. Because he had just told him, whatever you're going to do, do it. And we know what he's going to do. Setting the wheel in motion for the crucifixion. And after Judas left the room, it was Jesus and the remaining 11. And this is what he told them. Guys, I got to go. Just like I told the Jewish leaders, I'm going away. But since I'm going away, I'm leaving you with something. I'm leaving you with a gift, a parting gift. I want you to love each other. When he said love each other, that went in one ear and out the other. Especially for Peter, because he didn't hear anything else when Jesus said he was going away. And I could just hear Peter after Jesus got through saying love each other. Hold it a minute on that love thing. What did you just say? Where are you going? Wherever you're going, I'm going. You and me are together. Matter of fact, I am so connected with you, I would die for you. And Jesus said, ask him, die for me. Peter, you're going to deny me. Three times. Then there was a holy hush in the room when he said that. And it was so quiet that you could almost hear the thunder of the cross in the background. And Jesus could see the look on their faces. Confused. Troubled. They didn't understand. And then he said this in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Easy to say, hard to feel. Refuse to let your heart be troubled over what things appear to be. You trust in God? Trust in me. Trust me. Things are not as they appear. Trust me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You know what your heart's like. Every one of us has had those days. Some of you have got that right now going on. If you're normal, if you're breathing, you have internal troubles going on. Students have internal troubles going on. Sometimes they laugh, the students do. And when they hear this from their parents or grandparents, boy, I sure wish I was young again. You just got the whole world in a handbasket. No troubles. And they say, you just don't know. You just don't know. Troubles. Trust in me. Then he said this. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. You remember that song, Big, Big House? He's got a big, big house. He said, there's a whole, and by the way, you know, in the King James, which is one of the greatest translations of the history of the world, matter of fact, it was the most controversial modern translation in the history of the world. You talking about rocking the world in 1611, the year I was born? Yeah, I mean, it rocked it, let me tell you. The world was changed, And in that version, this is what it says. In my Father's house are many mansions. Don't get offended at this. Matter of fact, you'll get glad at this. A mansion in heaven is like a mansion of the earth is like a shanty town compared to what God has for us in heaven. You can't even describe mansion. That's the best thing to come up with. Okay, I mean, you can't even describe it, how great it is. But there's all kind of room in heaven. You know, there's a lot of room. You know, our world is not getting overcrowded. Did you know that? Did you know they said that you could put every single person in the world, all 7 billion plus of us in Texas, literally. You say, oh, that's just a Texas tall tale. No, that's true. You really can. You could take 7 billion people and place them in Texas, and each one of them would have their own 100 square feet approximately of space. It's pretty amazing. We got a lot of room left on this earth. We got a lot of room left in Mississippi. You ever get on a jet plane and go over Mississippi sometime? You look how much room we got. We got a whole bunch of room. But God said, I got more room than that. I got plenty of room for everybody. And let me tell you, especially those that are misinterpreting the Bible across our convention, Jesus would have everybody to go to heaven if they'd just take him up on the offer. He said, I want everybody to go. If they'd only accept my invitation. I've invited everybody to heaven. If you'd only accepted it. And did you know why? That's the only reason he hasn't come yet. He wants more and more people to accept that invitation. Paul expected him in his lifetime. It's obvious. It's been 2,000 years. He's waiting. Just read the Bible. A lot of room. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? You can trust me. If I told you I'm going to do it, count it. I'm calling my bank shot. It's happening. And if I told you I'm preparing a place for you, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be what? With me where I am. I was telling some of our young parts of this fellowship that we're talking about a big house this morning. I said, Pastor Chuck, I'm waiting. You said a big house, and you told me that it is bigger than this church. Because I ask you, big as this church? I said, bigger. You ever heard of the Biltmore House? George Washington Vanderbilt. Grandson of Cornelius, of which Vanderbilt University is named after. He had more money than you could, than any man should, somebody would say, should ever have. But no, that's immaterial. He had, you make it, you earned it. So he decided to build him a house. And boy, did he build one. In 1889, he started building it. It took 6 years. 4 acres of floor space. That's a big house. 250 rooms. 35 bedrooms. 43 bathrooms, 65 fireplaces, a swimming pool with a light in it, 8,000 acres of gardens, designed by the great Frederick Law Olmsted, the guy that designed Central Park. And here's the kicker. George Washington Vanderbilt wasn't even married. Isn't that something? He doesn't get married for 3 years later. And he goes to Paris. Not Paris, Tennessee or Paris, Texas. He went to Paris, France. And he told this girl, look, I built a house. And I believe it's big enough for me and you. And we could even have a family. And so he brought her from Paris to Asheville, North Carolina, to Biltmore House. And they had one child. One daughter. He built a house. He invited her there, and she had plenty of room. God said, I've built a place for you, and there's plenty of room. Have you accepted that invitation yet? I wish somebody would have told me when I was at Doty Chapel Missionary Baptist Church that I could have accepted the invitation where I sat. And I would have accepted it like that. And you can, right where you sat, you can accept the invitation like that. And it's secure. It's a big, big house. Plenty of room. And he says, I'm coming back to get you. You say, well, Chuck, what about that thing coming back to get us? Because I've heard all kinds of things about Jesus coming back. It's simple. He's coming back one time and one time only. That's what the Bible says. And Paul said it like this, because there were people in Thessalonica that said, since there's a heaven and since Jesus is there and he's coming back to take us to a house and to a place that's much bigger than anything we've ever imagined. If that is the case, what about the people in my family that have already died? And Paul smiled, and this is what he said. When Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died, which they really haven't. They just pass from this life to what? The next. So first of all, don't worry about those who've already gone, because they've gone to heaven. And they're coming with him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Now we get all excited in Mississippi State and Ole Miss when the Rebels and the Bulldogs come out of their tunnel. And I mean everybody gets up to a rising crescendo of excitement. But it says when Jesus comes again, you're talking about excitement. Oh my goodness. That'll be like a three-person trio compared to heaven's millions and millions of voices of excitement. When that happens, believers who have died, their bodies will rise from their graves to join their souls that's already gone. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. But we say, well, what are their bodies in a grave? He takes their bodies up. If they've been cremated, he brings it from all over, every single particle, wherever it has been in existence, because it's still in existence somewhere, brings it together and puts that body with the soul that, by the way, but get this, is crazy. It's unbelievable. But our soul, when we go to be with the Lord Jesus, this is another message, another time, but our soul is physical as far as physical in appearance. Because when Moses went to be with the Lord, he was buried. But when Peter, James, and John saw him on that mountain, he had a physical appearance as Moses. God can do it any way he wants to do. Amen? And so he says, I'm coming again. I'm bringing believers who's already gone. I'm going to take their bodies that were put in the ground, and in a miraculous way, I'm going to take them or through the particles of the air. I'm bringing them together and joining their souls together. Then together with them, we who are still alive, Paul thought it was going to be in his lifetime, and remain on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And listen, and I know, seeing our mama and our daddy and our brother and our sister will be a big deal. Let me tell you, that's a big deal. But it pales in comparison to seeing the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you, He, believe me, when He comes, that'll be the one we're thinking about first. Amen? I mean, because He is the reason for our lives being what they are. And He is the reason that we will be with those we love forever. So He's the one we celebrate. And I think about this. I think about, this is so interesting to me, Jeff. When Vestal passed away, she passed away about the same time, within the same few weeks of the great Cliff Barris, who led the music for Billy Graham. And Cliff Barris felt it, let me tell you. I can imagine when they got to heaven, after Vessel got through singing a solo to the Lord Jesus, that he said, "Cliff, hold it a second. Yes, Lord. I've been listening to you leading those choirs of praise to me for years. Let me get a few angels together. You get them assembled. And I want you to lead my angels in praise to my name." I would not be surprised if the Lord Jesus had done that one iota. I would not doubt it. And what a joy to do it, to praise Him. By the way, if he gets a hold of Short, we get to glory, he pulls him to the side of us, going to sit back and smile and just listen. Say, "Go for it right there." Listen to what it says again. Then we will what? Be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. As we have the time of commitment, you know, the Lord spoke to me about something. You know, and again, you just try to get out of His way and listen to what He has to say to you. And so He was speaking to me about this message that He had prepared for this morning. And the Lord was saying to me about the verses that what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall any trouble that we face? And you put everybody's troubles in this church together, it'd be a whole bunch of troubles. A trouble that you and I would not want to face alone. Maybe that's why we're together as a church. Shall trouble separate us? Shall the worst of troubles separate us? Then he said this, shall death, shall life, is there anything that will separate us? No. The Bible says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Nothing will ever separate us. And here's why. That's what I love about the Lord Jesus. He said, "I'll tell you why nothing is going to ever separate you from me. Remember when you were a little boy and you were a little girl? And you got in front of that busy street in Tupelo? You remember when your daddy grabbed a hold of your hand and said, 'We're not crossing unless I'm holding on to you.'" Jesus says, "You're not holding on to me. I'm holding on to you." And he said this, and John heard him say it, "Whoever the Father gives to me they're in my hands. And nobody can take them out. Jesus is telling us today, I got this. I got this. Because I got you. And I'm never going to let you go. No matter how hard you shake, I got you. Lord, thank you that you've got us. Thank you that you're with us. And Lord, help us to trust you. Trust you that what you say, we can trust. And Lord, may you increase our faith in the one who holds our hand. And Lord, we pray in your name. As we stand together and sing, you come if the Lord leads you to come forward or to have that altar, or just you and God where you stand.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know. Thou art mine, for thee all the follies of sin I resign.
I'll gladly exchange it, amen.
My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever my Jesus is now.
And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Tonight at 6:30, as we come together, we're going to come and sing and share whatever God's placed on your heart tonight. And then if God's wanting me to speak tonight, if he's wanting to say something after that, then here's the question he's answering. What do I have to do with Lucy? Remember Lucy at the psychiatrist booth? Always giving advice to Charlie Brown. What does Lucy, the great psychiatrist, and regrets have to do with my life? Because everybody has regrets, right? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Well, God says, let's see what I can do about that. Tonight at 6:30. God bless you. Pastor Jeff.
Hadn't God been good to all of us? Every single person in this building, just daily and daily. Tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity. I know it's fifth Sunday night, and sometimes we do something a little different. We're just going to start out in praising the Lord, and then we're going to send the microphones around, and we want you to just stand and give a testimony for the Lord. I want to thank God for this, and this, whatever God lays on your heart. We want to just fan this audience tonight. And Brother Chuck's already said, if it goes on and on, then he'll just cut it short. If it doesn't, he's just going to preach all night. So y'all pray about it. Lord, what would you have me stand and say for your name tonight? And come and be a part of a wonderful, wonderful worship service as we worship together. Brother Jimmy, come and dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. The music, the message from Brother Chuck, Lord, we just pray that you will bless this. Give us a blessing on our church members. As they go home, make sure that they're safe, Lord. Just protect them and lead and guide each one of us throughout this week, Lord. May each one of us touch someone's heart that they come to know you before it's too late, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.